Today's study is 79, and this is the 10th day of February, believe it or not, 2021. And it doesn't seem like New Year's is just a few days ago, but, you know, that's the way it goes. And we left off last week with in Philippians 3, and I've got my notes down through the end of the chapter, but I know we won't get through that far. But anyway, I've got it ready just in case. And I'm going to read 15 again because we was there as we left off last week, but I didn't say very much about it. I just pretty much read it. But it says this, "Let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." So, Paul has picked up on what God has given him here in this 15th verse, and he is telling the Philippians that, generally speaking, when you hear a story, there's two sides to the story. And so he says, you know, to make a decision on whether or not it's the truth. And if it's not the truth, then ask God to explain it for you in your mind. And so basically this is it. But I'm going to read my notes anyway. It said, "Let us therefore," or because of this, that's what generally therefore is therefore, because of this, or what we had read and studied last week, "as many as be perfect." And that perfect there, in the Greek, is teleos. And it means that which has reached the end or its end, or in this case, it is a finish. And Paul said, be thus minded. So there was a full stop there in 15. "And if in anything you be otherwise minded," because I made a note of this because I looked up as otherwise minded somewhat, and I came up with the idea that a person needs to take full account as for your safety in this life that we live, because you may get some bad advice, or you might get advice that would shorten your life or take your life in that case. And he says, God will reveal even this unto you. And he gives us some, but I'm just going to go back and read one because we basically went over it. Because it says 1 Corinthians 2 through 1 Corinthians 2, 5 and 6. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 2. And and we'll look at 5 and 6, and then we'll pick back up with it and go on from there. In 2, 5, and 6, it's on page 1 Corinthians 2, 5, said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, this was Paul going back to the things that he had written in a former dispensation and bringing it up to date with you here because it says that God will reveal it even unto you. Then verse 6 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. So he is saying what you can understand here is between you and your God, but to the rest of the world, they may not hear it, or they may carry that teaching they're doing on to others that might believe them. So that's basically where we are. And I'll just add verse 7 to it. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So he was getting some of this stuff as he went along, but he upgraded it when you get to Philippians 3:15. And so we'll get 16 and do our regular deal in 16. So back to the King James Version of Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have obtained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. And so in verse 16, I'll read you my notes. It said, nevertheless, that's 4133 in the Strong's. And it kind of boils down to this. Moreover, or make the decision for the way that the Holy Spirit will lead you into this. Let's see if I got anything else on that page. It says, yeah, whereunto, or the which point that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule with our heart and mind together, minding the same things. Okay, so let's go back to the Koine Greek and look at 16. To bring it down, it says, nevertheless, whereunto we attain by the same, to walk. Nevertheless, whereunto we obtain by the same to walk. And Jack says these few words expresses a simple thought, but the principle is powerful. Some current ways of expressing this thought might be, And I really like Jack's way of doing this. And it says, Jack says, you can say, well, let's grow where you're planted. Because your normal walk is where you normally go about doing your daily or your business of dealing with that. And another thing of that is brighten the corner of where you are. And some of this may have been taken from old songs that sung. I'm not really sure, but it seems like I remember about brighten the corner where you are. Or go as far as you can go on the right road. But it all boils down, what the Apostle Paul says, stay on the course. Follow the course that's being laid out for you here in Philippians. If you do that, you'll be in good shape. And then here's the the stuff that goes with it. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians again. And look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. This is the last verse of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord."
Amen.
So he's talking about where you are and where you made your home. And we're going to read a little more about this in the next verse of scripture. But he is setting it, he is setting the scene up for that where you are and how you deal with yourself and others around you, that is very important in the situation as to what we're talking about here. Okay, let's go back to Romans and look at Romans 4 for just a minute. Romans 4. And I've got so many notes, my Bible won't hardly shut. marked for things that marked out by a bookmark or something that tells me where to go to. But in Romans 4, let me go one more page. There it is. 20 and 21, it's on page 1670 if you have a companion Bible. Well, let's go back to 19, where it says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb," because he's talking in here in Romans 4 about Abraham and Sarah. And it says, "In Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed unto him," to Abraham, "for righteousness." So that was 4, 19 through 22. And then let's go back the other way. Let's go back to the dispensation that we're in now. And look at Colossians 1, 28 and 29. That's on two different pages. That's on 1782, 1783, if you have a companion Bible. 28 and 29, it says, "Whom we preach." And we know who Paul was preaching. He was preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, I think the real word there that we were looking for was this word perfect, that word teleo that we mentioned a while ago. "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his mighty working, which worketh in me mightily," or by might, as Paul would say. Now, having went from one dispensation to the other, let's go back to 2 Corinthians. I don't know why they done that, but 2 Corinthians 10, I think that was the word perfect that they were looking at. And so he put that in there because we had looked at that word, 2 Corinthians 10, 13, and 14. Okay. That is on page 1742. It says, but we will not boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, full stop. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. And I think Paul is telling us here that he hasn't overstretched his bounds, but he is telling us these things that, of course, he's going to learn more about as we go along, because we flip from one dispensation to the other and then back one. So I looked at that and I said, well, I wonder why we done that, but I can't ask Brother Jack anymore, so I'll just have to say, okay, we'll do it your way, Mr. Everly. Okay. Verse 17 says this in the King James Version. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. He said, okay, use us for an example, but then you can mark others as maybe being different, and God will give you the understanding. So that if you go 2 verses back, that's basically what we're talking about here. So, it says, brother, be or become followers or fellow imitators, or together or in step of me, and mark. That word mark there is scopio, and I think that's where we get our word to scope out something mm-hmm. To get
zeroed in.
A look and an understanding that might be different. Okay. Some walk in darkness. Others walk in light. So you and I need to make a judgment according to that. Them which walk so as ye, or for you, have us as an example. So you've got something there that's, Paul has laid out, that you can make a determination between what you see of my group against somebody else might come along with something different. That goes back to the verse 15 that we talked about. It says, if you hear some other thing, let God be the judge of that. Let the Holy Spirit within you judge whether they're on the right, straight, narrow, or all these things that Jack brought up in his while ago in that other verse of scripture is, stand fast in your own area. Okay. So 17 says this in the Koine Greek. It says, imitators together with me, be brethren, and consider those thus walking around, even as you have patterned us. And back to the more closely worded to this age English, be imitators together of me, brethren, and consider those walking, even as you have us for a pattern. And that makes a lot of sense. Jack says that there's two things taught here. One of them is follow Paul and his teaching. This is a positive exhortation. It will have to be done purposely and consistently. And hear this. It is ongoing. The second teaching is to follow others who are keeping the same pattern. And Paul knew that he wouldn't be around forever. They will be successors. And some of these will be in the footsteps of Paul, and some won't know him. This too is a positive exhortation. Follow those that are true followers of Christ and His Word. And that's good information for anybody in any dispensation anywhere.
Amen.
That's the way it is. Okay. Guess where we're going? Back to 1 Corinthians again. It seems like Jack had his Bible open there, and so we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 11 this time. First Corinthians 11, I'll be there one more page. First Corinthians 11:1. I've got to go back one more page. Oh, yeah, okay. It's on page 17:13, and it's the only full verse that's on 11 in the Companion Bible. And it says pretty simple. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So, that was there, and let's turn to the book of Luke. We don't get into Luke much, or John much. He didn't. But in Luke, we're going to 11 in Luke also. 11:35. Well, 12 was pretty long. There it is. Okay. Let's go back to 34. The light of the body is the eye. Full stop. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. So take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. And if the whole body therefore be full of light, having no dark, no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. And when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And after that, he got invited to dinner. Christ did when he said that. But this was what Paul was wanting you and I to see, that, you know, even if we've got eyes, we could still be in darkness. And that's a sad commentary, but that's the way it is sometimes. In 17. So let's look at 18. And it says, well, 18 and 19 is a parenthetical insertion, but it's been broken down by the people that put the punctuation in, I guess, into two different verses. And I made a note of that. That wasn't something I remembered in my feeble brain, but that's when I was doing my notes, I said, oh, there's a parentheses there. And then I looked down to 19, I said, oh, there's the end of the parentheses.
Yes, sometimes you gotta hunt them down.
So we're gonna read 18, and it says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So Paul is saying here again, as he has already said two or three times, that some have light, some don't have light, some walk the straight line, the others don't walk the straight line, some do this, some do that, but you've got us as an example. And he says, for many walk, and that's in the Strong's in the Greek is 4043. And that is, and I'll try to say it, peripatio. Peripatio. And that means to go around or to walk around or to show others this walk, or basically where you live, in a sense. It's like someone coming over and saying, well, let's go outside and you can show me your place. And it says, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping. That they are those that are enemies of the cross of Christ. These are not the example of Paul, and thus they are not properly following Christ. Okay, two places we're going to look again. And it's not going to be 1 Corinthians this time. It's going to be Galatians 5. Just back before Ephesians. And we'll get in Galatians 5 pretty quick. And I've got Galatians 3 marked. So I know we're going to go there sometime in the future. Galatians 5. I'll have to turn my Workman's Linear one more page. 5:13. Galatians 5:13. I'm sorry. I couldn't read my own writing. And I did it yesterday.
I thought I was the only one that did that.
Okay. Galatians 5:13. 1757, if you have a companion Bible. If you haven't found it already. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Okay. In 13, called unto liberty. So the note says liberty here is the foundation. You have not been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. This freedom you have, if you want to look at liberty as freedom in this sense, that you have, use it not only for an occasion of the flesh, but use it for a reason to serve other people. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Guess what? That's not mentioned very much anymore. Because quite often we don't even know who our neighbor is. Things have gotten so hectic in this day and age. People move and go, and a lot of people don't stay in one place very long, and they're often gone somewhere else. So, quite often we don't have the chance to do like we did maybe years ago. And I want to go back to Romans 6, because Paul wrote something in Romans 6 that he wants to bring up again here. And this is a lot of times the way we read it in it says Romans 6:1, which is on 1672, but I'm going to read 1-4, and it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death? Therefore, or because of this, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Not in the old ways, but to walk in that which is proper for this, even this dispensation. That was written in another dispensation. And Paul didn't have this information that we're reading about here. How much time we got left?
It's 9:11.
Okay.
No emergency.
No emergency. We can do 19 anyway, because they went together. And that's the reason I was asking. So back to the King James Version in 19. Talks about those that walked. Many walked. And I tell you, even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. There's three or four things here in 19 that he mentions there, and I'll just read what I wrote in this is my notes. whose end is destruction or perdition, whose God, and that there is the little God, it's not capital God, so it is their own personal God, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And the earthly things is epigigos. So when you read 18 and 19 together, it makes a great lot of sense. So I don't know why they broke it up. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weepingly, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose little God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. He kind of summed it all up in a neat package there.
Oh, yeah.
He just didn't put a bow around it for you. But Jack did. And so, let's look at what Jack wrote. Let's go back to Romans and look at the last chapter, Romans 16. Okay, we're in Romans 16 here. 18, Romans 16, 18, and it's on page 1693. Talking about the churches of Christ, salute you in 16. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are of such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So I can quite surely understand why he went back and put 18 in there talking about their belly. Now, that was in Romans. And so, let's go back, let's go over to Titus. We haven't been in Titus in a long time, so, let's go over to Titus. It's on page 1817. Okay, Titus. First chapter. Twelve to 14, on page 1817. One of them says, even a prophet of their own, says the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. And Paul says, this witness is true.
That's what I got tickled at.
So.
And they're not lying. I can hear, you know, that if you said that today, that's what it would sound like. And they're not lying.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and read 14 while we're there. It says, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound. That they may be sound, they may become sound in the faith, I think is what it should read. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, that turn from the truth. This is the dogs that he referred to in the first verse, the second verse of chapter 3. It was those Jews that wanted you to go back to something different. Okay, now after we went to Titus, because evidently that was on the mind of Jack and Paul both, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Boy, we've been all over Corinthians tonight. In 2 Corinthians 5, I've got it marked just about every page, so I'm not getting very much with all these markings that I've got.
You may have to start sorting markers.
Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians 5, 1, page 1734. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and we kind of live in our own tent, if you will, here on this earth, that we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house from heaven. If so, that being clothed, that we should not be found naked. And naked in this case is basically dead. To be not in the tabernacle anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was, we got one more. Let's go to Colossians. So we're going to go back to a different dispensation. We're going to go to Colossians 3, verse 2. Boy, I hit this one straight on the mark. This is on page 1784. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Amen. Okay. So that gets 19. We got time to do another?
20 after, I would say so. Yep.
Okay. Let's look at 20 because we'll save the last verse for next week. Paul says in the King James, for our conversion is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our conversation, our manner of life, where we are citizens, or where we will have citizenships with rights and responsibilities is in heaven. It exists even now. And it says, from whence we look for, eagerly wait for, with outstretched neck, in expectation. Expectation of who? Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that kind of sums up them first four verses that I just read there. Okay. I should have told you to keep in Colossians, but Colossians is not that far back. And I've already read part of it. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And so that's what he wanted you to see in this verse of scripture. Also, Titus 2:13. So we're going to go back to Titus one more time. Page 1818. After Timothy and before Hebrews. And Philemon throwed in there for good measure. Okay, Titus 2:13. Well, I've made a little parenthetical insertion around this and from 11 to 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, 20, let me read you what Jack wrote, because I read the notes last. So, in 20 it says this, of us, for citizenship in heaven exists, out of which also, Savior, we are awaiting Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the Koine Greek into the English, and it says on down to the modern English, for our citizenship exists in heaven, out of which also we are awaiting our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. This earthly world we live in is not the home God has for us, the believers of his body. We have a citizenship in the upon heavenlies, to be exact. And this was out of the Bible that Jack was using, because he always used the upon heavenly when he's talking about it. For the area will come, from this area will come the Lord Jesus. He will appear for us and take us, his body, to appear with him. His appearing will be greatly watched for. The hearts of those expectant watchers will be hearts filled with love at the expectation. We do not watch for any earthly descent of the parousia of the Lord to reign upon the earth. And so what we, part of what we just read there is what was explained there in the scripture in Colossians and Titus. And there are others, but we'll let that go for the night because we're running out of time. And we'll pick up the last verse of chapter 3. Next time, Lord willing, and go on from there, because it's a pretty good There's a pretty good bit of stuff in the very last verse of chapter 3. And thank you for being with us tonight. And may God bless you. And we'll get back and continue to look and continue to study. And I've read a lot this week, not studied, but just read a lot in Colossians. And it's been a while since we've been in Colossians for any distance there. We get to go there for a verse or two every once in a while. But Lord, it's loaded. It is loaded.
Oh yeah. Very good stuff.
So we ain't got long if we get in there if the Lord's willing. And we can pick it up and take on off with that. So thank you for being with us tonight. And may God bless you. May His love continue to be with you and me and all of us, and bless us as we go down this road.
Amen.
That Paul has laid out for us. Thank you so much.